Hello there. Good evening, everyone, and welcome. It's the 9th of December, the last council meeting for the year. Okay. But before I commence, just going around the room, we have Councillor Wilson. Okay. We have a guest in the audience. We have Councillor Collinson and Councillor Brockman, Councillor Boyd. Okay. We have Janine Main, superb executive assistant and CEO's executive assistant, as well as we have the CEO, Jonathan Throssell, okay, executive manager, okay, Fraser Henderson, executive manager, and Jacqueline Scott, executive manager, Peter Kosian, and then we've got Councillor Maywood, Councillor White, and Councillor Cutter. Welcome, everyone. On behalf of Council, I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the traditional custodians of the land in which this meeting is taking place and pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging. Just a reminder that this meeting is being audio recorded and that no Council decision from tonight's meeting will be communicated or implemented until 12 noon on the first clear working day after this meeting, unless Council by resolution arrived at this meeting, request the CEO to take immediate action to implement the decision. Okay. We are all in attendance except for one apology. Councillor Harrington felt unwell this morning and she's raised her apologies. We have that, I think we have that recorded. Point number five, disclosure of interest in the matters before us.
Mr. Mayor, I'm disclosing an interest in item 18.1, which is the CEO annual performance review.
Thank you. Okay. Any other disclosures? No, there is none. Moving forward, public question time. There is nil. Okay. Previous absolutely. Welcome. I think your name. Sorry, your name.
Tim Carmody.
Okay, Tim. Could you come forward to the? Sorry, we need to record you, mate. So. Yeah.
Yep. Tim Carmody, Wilerna Shire. Not in the Wilerna Shire capacity. Am I asking this question? Has the East Fremantle ever thought of pairing with a rural council, as I think it is South Perth has with the Kimberley Council?
Okay, I'll send that question to you, CEO.
Not to my knowledge, through the chair. It's certainly something that could be evaluated, but again, it probably is down to capacity and appropriate partners as to what we could offer somebody else or they could offer us. But not to my knowledge have we done that in the past.
But that also being said, I know a lot of residents do have very strong connections to people in the country. I know down my way as well they do. So it's something that we could consider. So thank you, Tim.
Am I allowed to make a statement as well?
You are? Okay. I'll allow that.
At the convention, local government convention this year, there was a lot of talk about the, I think it was the South Perth and the Derby, which has the Fitzroy and I'm not sure which is the other town up there they've got. Mm. And the service that they were able to offer was town planning.
Oh, yeah, gotcha. Mm.
And a couple of others in that line, that type there. They were very surprised that what it gave them was the opportunity. They did it on a cost recovery basis, and it gave them the opportunity to have their town planners experience rural, because it is meant to be city and rural experience that they get. And that was just one that came off the top. It was, as you probably understand, a lot of us in the rural, we don't have the closeness of services that can be here, and it was just, I thought I'd throw it up and see if there was anything in it.
No worries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Wilson, you had a question? No, all good? Thank you. Okay. Look, there's new presentations, there's new deputations. Applications for leave of absence, are there any? Okay, Councillor Cutter.
Hello, you're going to get my full annual calendar. It closely aligns with, i.e. exactly matches school holidays.
Absolutely.
26th of December until the 3rd of January, 3rd of April till the 19th of April 2026, 4th of July to the 19th of July 2026, 26th of September to the 11th of October 2026.
Did you get that, Janine?
No, but we got them previously. I thought they were coming to the February meeting because I thought, yeah, that's all right.
Okay, so do you want to read that out? Let's see.
What I'd recorded was the 26th of December 25 to the 7th of 1st 26, the 2nd of April to the 19th of April 26, and the 14th of July, did you say to the 19th of July 26?
Not quite, but I can just send you in an email. But
just for the purposes of the record, because it's audio.
Got it. 26th December to the 3rd of January. Yeah.
Yep.
3rd of April to the 19th of April.
Right.
Okay.
4th of July to the 19th of July.
4th of July, 19th.
4th, okay.
And 26th of September to the 11th of October. Sorry, I raced through because I'd pre-emailed my...
6th to the 10th. 26th
of... The 10th of October.
11th.
11th.
It's all right, I'll speak.
Thank you, Councillor Cutter.
All right, cheers.
Councillor Maywood.
Okay, I think it's during the break anyway, but just in case. The 21st to the 28th of January 2026.
21st to 28th of January, thank you.
Sorry, what was that?
The 21st to the 28th of January. Of
January.
Of January, yeah.
Yeah.
The 21st of December to, yeah. Okay. Any other leave? No? Can I have a mover, please, for leave? Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor White. I take there's no question, no debate. I'll raise your hand if you move that motion. Thank you. Leave has been accepted. Moving on to confirmation of minutes. Can I have a mover, please, for item 9.1? The minutes to the meeting for the 18th of November, please. Councillor, thank you, Councillor Cutter. Seconded, Councillor Maywood. Any discussion? I see there's none, therefore I move that recommendation to be accepted. Please raise your hand. And that's approved unanimously. Thank you. Announcement by presiding member, that's myself. Look, I have a few comments to make. The first is for those that attended the Sins Christmas lunch last week, we would have seen a fantastic event. Both myself and Councillor Conson was at the Glide-In today and received multiple thank yous and congratulations on a very well planned event. It particularly noted how different it was to last year's and how they're looking forward to next year's. I guess the second point I'm going to make, I guess, a big thank you for all of those that were involved in arranging from the staff to the CEO, okay, in making that event such a pleasant for the 215 odd people that were there, okay, including, by the way, former councillors who actually loved the actual day itself. Second item is for those that missed another event. It was someone's 50-year work anniversary last week. Okay, Janine May has brought together past mayors, past CEOs, into this building, and once again, I get brought a special moment to the town, and a big thank you again, Janine, and also those who are involved in making that. Look, being a town that's been around for over a century, it's important on us to understand that their heritage and the history of those that came before us. And I think that was another special day that will live for a while in this lovely town of ours. I also note that during the month, the CEO And I met with multiple clubs. So we meet the clubs every year, and I particularly note that the positive responses that we're getting from the tennis club, the soccer club, the Glide Inn, the Friends of the Foreshore, and even the Lions Club. So that process is well and truly underway. Last but not least, our CEO was recognised for those that missed some of the media, was recognised with a life membership by the LG Professionals WA, noting his 30 years experience and his demonstrated leadership and integrity and commitment to the sector. Particularly noting and John's past, but from my point of view, looking forward to the future on how we can do this for Nether. Maybe not 30 years, Jonathan. let's go 10, okay? Okay. Other than that, like I said, other than that, again, a big thank you for all your assistance this year. It has been a busy year this year. Beyond the election cycle, it's been a busy time, and I must admit it has brought some reserves of energy that was required to make this happen. And on top of that, the staff, particularly, and if I particularly talk individually to Peter, you and your staff, it's been a tough year with the auditors and bring it all together with Carnaby's. Jack's joined us, and notably that we are starting and rebuilding the operations requirement. So thank you. And Fraser, we did a fantastic event here with the LPS4. Okay, so thank you to yourself and I really thank Janine and CEO. So let's hope we all have a restful and joyous Christmas in the next festive season. Moving on, thank you. Unresolved business from previous minutes. In any, I think, and that's nil. Moving on to 12 reports and recommendations of committees, and we have a number to go through. 12.1, the review of some finance policies. Can I have a mover, please, for that item's on page 9, the council resolution is on page 11. Could I move it, please, for that resolution?
I don't wish to move, but I'd like to ask a question
on
that.
Okay, we can do it first. Okay.
Yes, my question to the Executive Manager of Finance. On the section there on the fossil fuel-free investments, I know I've raised this quite a few times in the past, and as the percentage of divestment dropped, and I notice now it's dropped to zero, and I think if it was out there in the community, I think a lot of the community members would be very disappointed, especially the ones that really campaigned strongly to bring in this policy, if they actually knew that it had gone to zero. Mm-hmm. So my question is, do you have any ideas how we can twig our policy a little bit so that it can allow perhaps not being such as having so many stringent requirements for this to be implemented? Because I notice, you know, other councillors do invest in places like the Bendigo Bank or whatever that doesn't fit our requirements. So I think the community would appreciate it if we could have some tweaking of that policy. Yeah.
Through the chair, thank you for the question, Councillor Connaughton, and also thank you for the advance notice. I did take the opportunity to prepare a bit of a short response. I don't believe that the policy needs to be amended per se to facilitate divestments. It already provides provisions to enable the town to do so. As referenced in the agenda item to the Audit, Risk and Improvement Committee, very few institutions are currently offering dedicated green certified term deposits. And some of the reasons being products must meet international standards such as the climate bond standard and the green bond principles to avoid greenwashing, and banks must assess climate risks in their portfolios and ensure deposits funds generally sustainable projects. Identifying ethical and fossil-free ADIs requires significant research and cross-referencing, including some of the following sources: APRA's official ADI register, independent ethical banking assessments such as Market Forces, which WALGA have used to identify, I guess, fossil-free institutions, public ethical investment frameworks such as the Australian Ethicals Screening Criteria, and guides from Australian finance sites. So based on the research, community-focused banks such as Bendigo Bank and Adelaide Bank would appear to be the most appropriate ADIs, as they have low fossil fuel exposure compared to major banks. And the town will further, I guess, investigate requirements around placing investments with those two ADIs, bearing in mind the, I guess, the credit criteria and also the requirement for market quotes as required under the investment policy.
Councillor Carlson, you happy with that response?
Yeah, that's... Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving forward, I just note these next four items, they were discussed at the Audit and Risk Committee meeting. Can I have a mover, please, for... thank you, Councillor White. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Maywood, thank you. Councillor White?
Nothing further.
OK. Councillor Maywood, nothing further. Any discussion? Any opposition? There's none. In that case, I move that motion. In regards to the office recommendation on page 11, all people for the motion, please raise your hands. And that's been voted unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 12.2, another item that was discussed at the Audit Committee, the strategic risk register. Okay. Does anyone want to move this motion, please? It's on page 23. Any questions? You have a question, Councillor Cutter? Thank you.
Hi, yeah, I wanted to just, I suppose, give the opportunity for either perhaps Jonathan or Jack might be better placed to answer. As an audit committee, we discussed the addition of two risk items, one of which being the Fremantle Bridge closure. As you'll see from the table, that was left as a risk rating extreme, so 25. With the current controls being listed as inadequate, recognising that we discussed at the meeting some kind of mitigating factors, but given the timing of how that gets updated into the actual risk register, that won't be captured until potentially the next Audit and Risk Committee meeting. So just wanted to give maybe Jonathan or Jack the opportunity to maybe talk through a couple of items there, because I think it's... as it currently stands, it's been left as sort of inadequate and it's an extremely high risk rating. So I think it's a good opportunity to actually talk to that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. CEO.
Thank you. Through the chair. So to quickly recap the discussions at Audit and Risk, we noted that in response to this particular item, there was a number of actions that we are taking and planning to take. One of which, of course, was we met with the Alliance last week and were able to ask a number of questions about the strategies they have in place to mitigate the impact on the town. The Mayor and I think, as mentioned in his announcements, we met with the local members of Parliament, member for Bicton, member for Fremantle, to again raise these issues and outline the concerns and explore what other measures could be put in place. We have also looked at avenues such as the Streets Alive funding that Main Roads can provide, which will help us look at what particular traffic calming measures we can put in place to accompany a reduction in speed limits. So we're undertaking those investigations. But one of the key takeaways from the meeting itself was the committee asked me to assess and access other monitoring and communication opportunities available to the town in regards to the traffic impacts of the closure of the Fremantle Traffic Bridge. So we are now having to look at, and we will report back to council, what traffic data we can to compare to our current baseline data. And that will help us obviously then inform any further steps we need to take. The register itself will be updated. It's a quirk of timing that what you're presented with tonight is what went to the committee, and obviously it will be updated with some of these measures. But that's the plans going forward for the next couple of months, to advocate council's position as expressed in the recent decision of council, but importantly to look at what measures we can put in place to actually reduce that risk of the closure of the traffic bridge, particularly on the impact of increased traffic through the town itself.
Happy with that, thank you. Further to the point, to the Executive Manager of Financial Services, when's the next Audit and Risk Committee?
Through the Chair, it's the end of February, the fourth Wednesday, so
it may be the
20th, is it a leap year? I'm not sure, but 28, 29.
It's in February, yeah? It's all good. Okay. Thank you. And thank you for the question, Councillor. I'm cut in the comment. Can I have a move, please, for that item to accept it? Thank you, Councillor Cutter. Can I have a second? Thank you, Councillor White. Councillor Cutter, any further? Councillor White, anything further? Any other further questions or comments? I think Councillor Brockman.
Yeah, just on the monitoring, thanks, Matt. Just on the monitoring of the vehicles and the baseline, on the vehicle data that we'll be looking at, is it possible not only to get the frequency but the type of vehicles that will be using rat runs or whatever, just in light of the amount of developments that I think we're going to have that are currently scheduled for 2026, and the understanding I have that there's a big difference between a high volume of traffic of light vehicles versus heavy vehicles and the damage that they do on the road. So my question is it possible in the review and looking at the baseline and then the future monitoring to monitor the types of vehicles that will be changing over that time? Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Jack?
Yeah, through the chair, the information that we have will let you know whether it's heavy vehicles or light vehicles, so we can determine between the two.
Very good, thank you.
Lovely. Okay, if there's nothing further, Councillor Cutter, do you want to close at all? You're happy to? All good? Okay. Therefore, I put that motion as written and accepted on page 23. Everyone happy to adopt the motion, please raise your hand. And that's been voted unanimously. Thank you. Item 12.3, 2026 meeting schedule and work plan. Okay, as the council resolution on page 56. I'm going to assume there's no questions on a plan and schedule. Can I have a mover, please, for this resolution? Can I have a mover? Councillor Maywood, thank you. And seeing the Councillor Cutter. Councillor Maywood, anything to discuss?
No comments from me.
No comments. I'm assuming the same for you, Councillor Cutter. There's no discussions warranted, so therefore I put that motion. Everyone raise your hand again for page 56 to accept the work schedule. Moving forward, 12.4, the unaudited annual and the financial report that's noted on page 58 and the council resolution on page 62. Any questions before I put this forward in regards to the unaudited annual report? Okay, no further questions. Therefore, can I have a mover, please, to accept it? Okay, this motion. Come and move it. Councillor White, thank you. Seconded Councillor Brockman. Councillor White? Councillor, can you just have it put on your...
There we go. Look, this was discussed at length in the audit... in the audit meeting, so I don't think there's anything further that can be discussed tonight.
Thank you. Councillor Brockman, anything further?
Nothing to add.
Lovely, thank you. Any further discussion on this item? Okay, I see there's none. Therefore, I put that item. Anyone for the motion? Thank you. Please raise your hand. And that's unanimously. Okay, thank you. Moving on to our first report of the evening. Item 13.1, officers' report. Before we talk about this, that's on page 158. I'm going to ask Fraser Henderson to just talk through the report if I can, please. So we.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. This is a report to make a referral to the Western Australian Planning Commission on a subdivision. The Western Australian Planning Commission are the decision maker on subdivision applications. The application itself is to create three lots, all of which are below the standard. The site size and average, minimum site size and average site size within the planning scheme. The site's zoned or coded R12.5, but it's a corner lot, so it can be subdivided at R20 densities. So that does give you some dispensation in site sizes for the underlying zoning. However, these sites don't comply with the scheme, and therefore a recommendation is that these are not approved.
Thank you. Any questions of... Thank you, Councillor White. Oh, sorry, Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, just one question. What would be the recommendation if the applicant requested to split the block in half? Two sites.
I think that's in the report, isn't it? I think it's in the report.
Well, we don't ever contemplate those sorts of alternatives because we are asked to assess a development on its merit. So if someone, we're saying, we wouldn't say, oh, but we might approve two, we just don't know until we have that facts above us. I guess the underlying thing is there are, it's an R20 site. There is an average site size. So I have to look in the plan and a minimum site size. Average lot size, I think, is 450 and minimum lot size 350. If it was to comply with those, then it is capable of approval under our planning scheme.
Okay, thank you. Can I have a mover, please, for that motion? Councillor, thank you. Councillor Connolson, thank you. Councillor Maywood seconded. Councillor Connolson.
Oh, look, I think I can't put it any better than what Mr. Henderson has. I think he's explained it all pretty well. It's really not good and proper planning, so as such, I don't think we should support it.
Thank you. Councillor Maywood.
Yeah, it's a very thorough report, and thank you to Mr. Henderson for giving that explanation as well. I'd say, obviously, given the fact the town is a referring body on this, but I think the non-compliance with the planning scheme and the R codes are evident, so I'd say I'd support the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against the motion at all? No? Okay, anyone speaking for the motion? Councillor Brockman?
Thanks, Mayor. Yeah, I think it's... I mean, we go to a lot of effort to put together a local planning scheme. My understanding is it's done and signed off by the state government. So if it doesn't comply with the local planning scheme, then, you know, our position is, of course, no. What I'd be extremely interested in, because we're only an advisory body, is going forward, if the WA Planning Commission doesn't follow the local planning scheme that we've put together, then, you know, I'd be interested in monitoring that and then have a review of the validity of the document itself, right? Because I just think if... I'm not predicting this, but it'd have to be a pretty strong case to go against a local planning scheme that we've put together, and I don't see any evidence of that in this proposal. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Brockman. Any further comments, questions? I see none. Councillor Connolson, would you like to close? Nothing further? Okay, lovely. Therefore, I close debate. I think the resolution is on It is on page 158. Everyone for the refusal, please raise your hand. And that's voted unanimously. Thank you. Moving forward to 13.2, the Swan Yacht Club and the, I think, another DBCA referral in regards to their sauna. Okay. Did you want to talk to this exec manager for planning?
We're happy to. This is a referral again, to, this time to the DBCA. Councillors will, if we were here last, from the last term of council, will recall that this proposal, exact same proposal came for it, but it was for a temporary approval. Council supported that approval. Now the Yacht Club is seeking that that temporary approval be a permanent approval. The sauna operates off a mooring, a pen on a floating barge. All of the discharges, et cetera, are taken care of from it. And I think our assessment is it's something that supports the activity in the club down there. And our recommendation is that this should be or could be to approve. Our recommendation is to support this proposal to the DBCA.
Thank you. Any questions? Look, I just have one question. I note that condition three, a condition B number three, talks about all wastewater from showers and so forth are piped off the pontoon. In terms of what happens if that pipe breaks, and or do we have any plan B in terms of what happens to that wastewater if it enters the Swan River? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, no, I don't think we've contemplated that
the condition,
that eventuality occurring. I guess it's a risk, low risk, isn't it? Probably,
because we're talking about detergents, yeah? Into the water's edge, yeah?
I don't think there are detergents out there. I think it's more about soaps and things from, suntan oil, which they might put in, things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Possibly detergents if they're cleaning out there. Well, I guess you're right, yeah. But I don't think they're out there soaping up. That's my understanding.
Thank you. Okay. Can I please have a mover for this item? It's on page 170. Oh, Councillor Maywood, seeing the Councillor Boyd. Thank you, Councillor Maywood.
Not many comments to add, because I think the report was very thorough, and thank you, Mr. Henderson, again for the further information. Another one where the town is the referring body to the DBCA. I know that council approved the temporary installation back in June, and from my perspective, what I've seen down by the river is that it's been a positive impact on the community, and people are really enjoying it and getting out more, which is what we like to see. So I support the officer's recommendation.
Yeah. Councillor Boyd.
Yeah, thank you very much to officers for the report, and also just great to see a non-for-profit innovating in terms of their revenue streams. So I think it's great we can support that.
Thank you, Councillor. Anyone want to speak against the motion? Anyone speak for the motion? That's none. Therefore, Councillor May, would you like to close the debate at all? Thank you. Nothing further? Thank you. Okay. That being put, I ask you to raise your hand to deal with council resolution on page 170. Raise your hand. Thank you. And that's approved unanimously. Moving quickly, item 13.3, the Fremantle City Football Club and the notions of the leases. Does anyone have any questions before this? Okay. Councillor Brockman? Okay, thank you.
Well, it'd be helpful if... I read through most of the material. Mm-hmm. I'm not much of a details person. It'd be good to understand just what is the main difference between the operating before and after if we make this change. Is there a summary that, you know, just like a, what's going to be the main difference?
Peter, councillor.
So through the chair, thank you for the question. So I guess the amendments to the lease discussed in the officer's report and marked up in the attachment. To summarise, the soccer club are requesting exclusive access to several parts of the Tricolore Community Hall that have been specifically repurposed for the use of the soccer club. Under the previous lease, the soccer club had a licence to occupy and use Tricolore Hall after 4 p.m. Monday to Friday and on weekends. So the new lease actually provides them with exclusive access to those specific areas. In addition, there are probably six key amendments to the lease agreement, which are outlined in the officer's report, and I'll talk to those very quickly if I can find the relevant section. Just bear with me. Okay, so yeah, on the top of page, was it 178? We've got the inclusion of a maintenance schedule in the appendix to the lease agreement, which outlines the roles and responsibilities of the lessor and the lessee with regards to structural maintenance and maintenance obligations. The lease schedule now includes conditions for community bookings. And the town's requested priority usage for one day a week to support neighbourhood link activities. So under the community booking arrangements, the soccer club have a positive obligation to market the availability of the meeting room between Monday to Friday, hours of, I think, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. We've got the amended lease premises plan as discussed. And importantly, we've inserted the designation of the Tricolore Community Building as the welfare centre in the event of a declared emergency. So they're sort of the key amendments. The remainder of the lease is exactly as the existing lease under the same terms and conditions.
Mm. Thank you. Yes, councillor?
Will any other clubs or members of the community, is there any downside to the change in the arrangement? Any perceived or any obvious or significant changes or clubs that are disadvantaged by this new...
Through the chair, I don't believe any clubs will be disadvantaged. And in fact, I do believe that there'll be community interest in using the community spaces. Previously, we had the Baha'i group as well as a Pilates group that had a weekly booking, and I understand that Probus potentially may be looking to use, a community facility. Under the schedule of fees and charges, there are different rates for commercial groups versus not-for-profit groups, and under the existing schedule of fees and charges, a fee waiver is provided to the Probus group. Should council be of the view that any other community groups should be considered for a fee waiver, they can make application to the CEO, which we can then approve under delegated authority.
Thank you.
Yeah. Look, I further make my comment because both the CEO and myself visited the club rooms, I think it was last week, and as some might know, post the East Fremantle Football Club moving, there were significant renovations done, offices being built, and so it looks very different now to what it was last time I saw it, at least 2 years ago. So the new lease was required to block all those, to understand where the areas are better designated. That's correct, isn't it, Peter? Yeah, thank you. Okay. No further... Do you have a question, Councillor Wilson? No? Councillor Boyd? Thank you.
Please excuse my lack of knowledge at this point in time. Just have a quick question regarding other non-for-profits and the duration of the lease. Is 21 years a standard practice across most community organisations? Thank you.
Through the chair, that's correct. The management order contains, the provision to... lease, which provides for a maximum term of 21 years, which is the standard term for, I believe, all of our sporting clubs that occupy town reserves.
Yeah, thank you. Lovely. I think we're not debating yet, so can I please ask for a mover? Councillor Wilson, thank you. Councillor Maywood. Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, listen, the Fremantle Football Club were extremely accommodating and extremely patient through the last, what I recall, 3 to 4 years as we look to develop that site or renovate that site, and this also accommodate the East Fremantle Football Club. And, you know, this is a signal or an indication of their ongoing commitment to the town, and also an indication of their attitude and professionalism in negotiating and working with us to agree. And I note that the executive committee has already endorsed the documents in these lease agreements. So it's pleasing to see their commitment, and you know, only happy to support what is a grassroots club supporting our youth and sporting of soccer, football in the region. So
thank you.
Fully endorsed. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Maywood.
Yeah, I endorse all of Councillor Wilson's comments. Probably don't have much further to add, just to say that I recognise that this has been an ongoing discussion with the town's officers for a while, and even before the significant investment was made by ourselves and the state government to see the redevelopment at Warhol Park, and it's looking absolutely fantastic, and we're really, really lucky to have such an incredible club that does provide so much opportunity to young people within the town and without the town, especially with their women's team, which is fantastic. So, you know, it's great to see that this is being executed, and also to see that the community will have a spot to meet in the town, which is great. So I fully endorse the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Anyone against the motion? Anyone speak for the motion? Look, I want to make a few comments. When both Jonathan and I met the president, he very much talked about the strength of the club, particularly focused on that ground around the women's league. And I think he said they were champions. The women's team were the champions in WA. So it very much supports what we wanted to achieve, to get more people into sport and provide facilities, particularly for juniors on the top oval and then the more senior and the women for the bottom oval. And that matches the money that we provided to that club. I think it was about $250,000. Plus the grant money they got from, I think, our local our member as well. So this is in speaking to the president, they've got some huge plans. So it's all looking very, very positive. So, but I'll let him talk about that at a later date, maybe. So I fully support this this motion. Okay, Councillor Wilson, like the closed debate.
No, nothing further to add.
No, lovely. Therefore, the debate's closed. I think that motion is on page 178. Anyone for the motion, please raise your hand. And that's voted unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 13.4, budget variation to be implemented for the budget findings. I'm assuming everyone's read the report. Can I have a mover, please? A mover for this. Councillor Cutter, a second. Councillor White, Councillor Cutter.
Nothing to add other than understand, obviously, the additional work that's been involved. There's been considerable work conducted by the East Fremantle team, so well done to navigating what has been a more complex audit this year. So nothing to add in terms of the actual amount. That all seems reasonable. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councillor White.
Nothing further of substance. I just would make the note that sort of going forward, the need to invest in governance and the capacity within the town to achieve these things through audit sign-off is going to only grow, and our attention in terms of funding these areas adequately will at some stage occupy all our minds.
So okay, that's thank all, you.
But thank you.
No worries. Anyone want to speak against the variation to adjust the budget numbers? No? Anyone else want to speak for it? I see none. Therefore, Councillor Cutler, anything further? Nothing. Thank you. Therefore, I put that motion on page 286. Anyone for the motion, please raise your hand. And that's voted unanimously. Thank you. 13.5, meeting schedule 2026. To the CEO, were changes made to this?
Through the chair, the key one is, apart from recording those meetings, so it's quite clear when we are proposing the various committee and council meetings, the main one for council's consideration is the meeting start time. There has been discussions in the past about whether or not we should have a standard commencement time for all of our meetings, because we do vary between 6 and 6.30. The proposal's there to commence at 6, but it is open to council as to whether they wish to make that amendment to point 3.
Thank you. Sorry. Before I put this, is there any questions on this? Councillor Collinson, you got a question? Thank you.
Well, I mean, personally, I don't have a problem, but I am concerned about the 6 p.m. start. I thought people that are working full time may have difficulty getting here at that time. And
okay, we're not debating here, Councillor, so do you have a question?
Yeah, okay. But I'm not sure that it's such a great idea.
Okay. You got a question, Councillor Wilson? Okay, nothing. Can I have a mover, please, for the motion written? Okay, it's moved, Councillor Wilson. Thank you. Cover second for this? Councillor White. Thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Thank you. I'm happy to move this motion, and speaking for someone that does work full-time, the commitment of a set starting time helps me more than having a later start time. So I'm certainly in favour of consistency. Then I can lock my schedule in that it's always at 6 p.m. and not varying depending on the nature of the meeting. And I also note the staff at having a slightly earlier start time, going from a work day into meetings at a earlier time is probably of benefit to staff as well. Nothing further to add.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor White, I think.
Nothing further. I'm just happy that everyone's happy.
Okay. Does anyone want to speak against this current motion? I'm looking around the room. There's none. Does anyone want to speak for the motion? Okay, I see none. So therefore, Councillor Wilson, you happy to close?
Nothing further.
Nothing further. Therefore, I refer you to, I think it's page 326, which is the resolution of our meeting schedule. Everyone for the motion, please raise your hands. And that's approved unanimously. With a new start time of 6 o'clock. Okay. Moving on to 13.6, the policy review on the vehicle acquisition and usage policy, noting the change and the, from a policy-driven, council policy-driven versus administration policy. I might ask the CEO to talk about this, but before we put this, thank you.
Through the chair, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the reason for presenting this to council primarily is because the view that the administration formed, it is a management or administrative policy rather than a council policy, because it is really operational in nature about when we're going to change over vehicles and what time and the things that drive those decisions, which are informed by such things as our commitment to transitioning our fleet over time to EV and so on and so forth. That's primarily the reason it's come to council. The council still has an oversight role in terms of the annual plant replacement program, in terms of the budget process, which can then, with our information to you, can then inform your decisions about what you're going to provide in terms of that replacement, rather than being involved in the how we are going to do it in terms of the replacement itself, in essence.
Is there any questions, Councillor Collinson?
Yes, my question's to the CEO. People that have been around a while know that I've been banging on for years and years about changing our fleet to EVs. and I was just, which so far the uptake has been very, very slow. Would this policy result in significant change to that, in the fact that council would be progressively moving more to EVs, or could it just continue on as it is at the moment?
Through the chair, it will be continue to be monitored in terms of the various aspects that we look at in terms of acquiring vehicles when we change over. One of them, of course, is the availability, reliability, costs of EV versus any other vehicles. I think it's important to note equally that this looks at our motor vehicles, and we don't actually have as many of those. For example, we've only got the one town car here. We've got a couple of utes that are used out at the depot in particular. So we don't actually have a large light vehicle fleet as such. Equally, in the council plan, there is an item which is to investigate the transition pathway of all of our fleet and plant to EV. So that's listed currently for the first year, to actually work out a roadmap to how we can do that, because obviously it's all the infrastructure required to support the vehicles and plant as well. So we are still moving in that direction, but it will be one of the considerations as we look to change over our vehicle fleet, is the availability, cost, and the ability to support EVs in the light fleet that we do have.
Good answer, Councillor Conson. Yep, okay. Councillor Wilson, your question?
Yeah, I note your second dot point within the policy regarding, economics. I'm just wondering, with the change of the policy going from a council policy to a management policy, what visibility will we get in terms of understanding whether these assets are owned or leased assets, which has been a question a number of times? And you know, how regularly will that be reviewed to make sure that we're getting the best economic outcome, whether it be an owned asset or a leased asset, across the entire fleet? And I do make distinction on that. Light vehicles, plant equipment. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Okay. So through the chair, that would be assessed as part of the annual plant replacement program. So as referenced in the report, the exec manager of tech services will oversee the replacement of operations fleet, and the neighbourhood link fleet sits with myself as the responsible executive manager. Opportunities for lease haven't been thoroughly investigated in the past. As council are aware, the town no longer provides the executives with town-provided vehicles. We receive a cash allowance in lieu of vehicles. So we do have limited, administration vehicles in our plant replacement program. The majority of our fleet are either operational vehicles at the depot or fleet utilised for our neighbourhood link service. However, we'll certainly consider opportunities for our leasing arrangements should it prove to be economical into the future.
Okay. Happy with that quick answer. Councillor Wilson?
Yeah, sorry. So just for clarity then, on the first application of a replacement vehicle, we can expect to see an assessment between what the economic benefit would be in terms of owning that asset or leasing that asset, is that fair?
Through the chair, look, if that's council's request, we're more than prepared to present those comparisons to council as part of the budget process.
Thank you.
Okay, lovely. Okay, no further questions. Can I please have a mover for this change? Councillor Wilson, thank you. Seconder? Councillor Maywood, thank you. Councillor Wilson.
Listen, I think the report speaks for itself, and the clarifying questions address any concerns that I may have had. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Maywood?
No further comments from me, Mayor.
Lovely. Anyone to speak against the motion? I'm seeing there's nil. Anyone speak for the motion? All good. Okay. Councillor Wilson, anything further?
No.
Nothing further. Therefore, I think it's page 329 for council resolution. Anyone for that motion, please raise your hand. And that's approved unanimously. Thank you all. Moving on, 13.7, the Local Government Heritage Consultancy Grant. Noting that this was well discussed at the last forum. Do you have any questions of the officers at this point in time before I ask for a mover and seconder? Okay, none. Therefore, can I ask for a mover of item 13.7 on page 340, please? Councillor Maywood, can I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor White. Councillor Maywood?
Yes, like you mentioned, Mayor, this was discussed at length at the Concept Forum last week, I think. Look, I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation and probably just add a comment that I'm happy with the level of protection that's already offered by the local planning scheme when it comes to protecting heritage properties and supporting that as an alternative rather than a blanket area policy which would apply to all buildings, heritage or not, within a given area. So happy to support the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor White.
Look, I just endorse the comments of Councillor Maywood and thank the town for an excellent report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone speak against the motion? Does anyone speak for the motion? Okay, Councillor Carter first, I think it was, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. And just, I suppose, following on what some of the other councillors have said, I think the discussion we had at the Concept Forum was really helpful in understanding the implications of a heritage area, which I think, given the one in place at the moment for George Street, is actually really limited to very few buildings. So whilst the concept of it, I had previously understood it to be, in my sort of very basic understanding, a great principle in terms of retaining heritage, when we talk through the implications of capturing such an enormous area under that and that any property within that versus the trade-off between what people are actually doing with properties and the fact that I take comfort as well from the fact that the planning team are actually also ongoing monitoring this as well. That was something else that we discussed, was the ongoing kind of observation and monitoring around what is happening to Category C properties is actually relatively low risk. So that trade-off of the implications for the town, I'm really comfortable with the proposed recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Constant, you had something to say?
Yes, I do. In fact, I don't actually agree with some of the comments that have already been made. Look, I am prepared to support this motion because I think the emphasis on this point of time, I am very concerned that we still aren't properly protecting our heritage properties. And I also don't really believe that to designate heritage areas is going to be as costly as our officers seem to think it will be. Because when you're putting things on the A and B list, it does impact people individually. But when you're talking about the whole area, I don't imagine there would be huge opposition from people in Woodside or Plimpton or Richmond if we decide to go there as well. So my support is contingent that it's only at this point of time. I would still like to think that down the track, we're still going to go to designate some heritage areas, and I certainly hope that that will happen in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Brockman, you have something to say? Thank you.
Yeah, I'd just like to endorse Councillor Collinson's comments. One of the key pillars of East Fremantle is our heritage, and I am of the same view that I'm prepared to support this under the condition that it is reviewed and that we monitor it closely, because I think at the heart of East Fremantle livability and what makes our place so unique is the heritage, and if that's not, if we are not doing everything within our power to protect that, then we're not doing the right thing by our residents and the community in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Anyone else want to speak on this item? Oh, Councillor Boyd, thank you.
Just like to agree with what Councillor Collinson and Brockman have said so far, in that it being at this time, and yet monitoring is a great idea, and yet at this time not feasible, but monitor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Anyone like to speak on this item? Councillor May, would you like to close?
Nothing further.
Thank you, Councillor. Therefore, the debate has been closed. I ask you to, I think the council resolution is on page 340, and that is to not proceed with the process of adopting designated heritage area, but agree with the administration of commencing the following tasks. Okay, if anyone for that motion, please raise your hand. And that's agreed unanimously. Thank you. The list of accounts for November. The resolution is on page 347. Can I have a mover, please, for a list of accounts? Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Thank you, Councillor White. Councillor Wilson?
No comments or questions, and the report speaks for itself. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor White?
No further comments, Mayor.
Lovely. Thank you. Any further questions, comments? I see that's nil. Therefore, I asked you to put your hand and vote for the motion on page 347, and that's approved unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 13.9, the monthly finance for November. Can I have a mover, please? Councillor Wilson, thank you. Senator Councillor Cutter, thank you. Councillor Wilson?
Yeah, I'm happy to move this motion. It was raised in the previous council meeting, and I raise it again, page 367, capital expenditure. I just note the trend that we're heading on capital expenditure, and I guess we're not on track, and just note that.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Cutter?
Nothing to add to that.
Thank you. Okay, lovely. Thank you. Any further discussion on the monthly finance report? Nothing. Therefore, I ask you to raise your hand to support the motion on page 364, and that's voted unanimously. Thank you. Moving forward, point 14, motions of which previous notice has been given, is nil. Notice of motion for which consideration at the next meeting. Any notice for further meetings? No? That's nil. Questions by members by which due notice has been given? That's nil. Any business of an urgent nature? Okay, that's nil. And we get to point 18, which is matters behind closed doors. At this time, we need to close the doors for confidential matters. Thank you, Tim. Okay, thank you. Thank you. At this time, I would ask the executives to move. I think the CEO and Janine is going to stay. Okay. Can I have a procedure motion, please, to close the door? Thank Councillor White, Senator Councillor Maywood. Please, you got that, Janine? Okay. Can I please have a vote to close the doors? And that's voted unanimously. Thank you. And we now close doors. Do you need to do your thing?